Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for March 14th, 2019, looking at Acts chapter 12, and I think we're going to get through the whole thing. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for a public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and your sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace, because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. This is the word of our God. This King Herod is the grandson of Herod the Great, the Herod the Crazy, who had tried to kill Jesus when he was born at Bethlehem there. Herod the Crazy, who had sent soldiers there to kill all the infant boys of nursing age and younger. And this Herod, similarly, not a Jewish man, he's an Idumean, so he has no rightful claim to the throne. This man is also a persecutor of God's church and persecutor of God's people. And so he tries to use his power as a tyrant, really. He tries to use his power to win favor with the people that he's supposed to rule. Because as long as he keeps them happy, then they'll be quiet and they'll cooperate and they won't rebel. And if they don't rebel, then he gets to keep his place and his position. So verse 1 and 2, he arrests those in the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this was met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And by this time, that phrase, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is 8 days long. It's the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover Festival. I think it's Passover first, and then the 7 days after that is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or maybe vice versa. But it's basically thought of as one 8 day long festival. And it's noteworthy that it's like maybe 2 years since Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead, and at the same time of the year. Peter is thinking that he's a goner. He knows that James has already been put to death. James, the brother of John, John the gospel writer, the two sons of Zebedee, one of the three closest friends of Jesus. And what would have been going through Peter's mind as he sat there in prison with a rotation of guards, two standing at the door and one chained to him on either side, knowing that James had been put to death, knowing that James was one of the three with him at the Mount of Transfiguration, knowing that James was one of the three closest to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, thinking back to that event of Jesus kneeling and his sweat like drops of blood falling to the ground. What would have been going through Peter's mind? He has a wife, we know that. Maybe he has children. We know that he's probably thinking back over the events of Jesus' ministry and maybe musing a little bit about how his life has taken a turn, and taken quite a miraculous turn, that is, where Jesus took him from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. When Jesus had said, "Come, follow me," and when he talks about, especially in the Gospel of Mark, which is kind of seems like an account based on Peter's recollections for the most part, inspired nonetheless, but it's an inspired account that really focuses on the actions and the words of Peter. As he thinks back to what Jesus had said, "If anyone would come after me, he must daily deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And right there, sitting in this dungeon, perhaps at the Praetorium, at the edge of the Temple Mount there, sitting in this dungeon and not knowing what's going to happen, thinking, has it been worth it? Has it been worth it to be a follower of Jesus, to walk away from his burgeoning, bustling small business, and to preach Jesus Christ crucified? I'm sure his answer would be yes. And he is prepared to suffer the worst, whatever that would be, whatever that would entail. And yet, the people who have been praying, God hears their prayer, and according to his own goodwill, he decides to answer their prayer differently than the way he answered any prayers that would have been said about James. Not that any prayer is more or less effective, but that God, in his wisdom, has chosen to answer the prayers about James by bringing James to heaven at the hands of that tyrant. And God had chosen to answer the prayers about Peter by bringing Peter to freedom. "Quick, get up," the angel says. They walk out, and Peter thinks he's dreaming, and they get to the door of the place where probably Jesus had met with his disciples at the upper room, and both Monday, Thursday, and then Easter Sunday evening, and then a week later, in that locked upper room, large enough to hold a sizable gathering of people. And Peter gets there, and they think that, well, maybe it's a guardian angel. Maybe she's seeing things. Rhoda is so excited and so overjoyed that she runs back without opening the door. I don't know about you, but if somebody knocks on our door, I'm usually pretty quick to open that. I mean, I look to see who it is, and it's, you know, the UPS guy or the FedEx person or the postal delivery worker, and I open the door. But Rhoda is so excited. It's Peter at the door. It's Peter at the door. Peter keeps on knocking. And what does he say? The only words that we have from him are in verse 17. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, that God had kept Peter safe." and God had kept Peter safe by bringing him out of prison. So despite the opposition to God's church, all the way dating back to Herod the Great and before, and now carried out by his grandson, Herod Agrippa, God continues to build his church, and God continues to keep his people safe. And also, God continues to carry out his judgment against the unbelievers. Here, Herod. Herod, struck down and eaten by worms, intestinal parasites, probably, and he died as a direct result of his unbelief, is the way that Luke connects it for us. So what shall we learn from this? First and foremost, God answers prayer. And God answers prayer in a way that is best for you and me, at a time that is best for you and me. And it's not always the prayer and the answer that we may have preferred. James may have preferred to live on, live out his days, and to continue to serve the Lord here on earth. But God had a better idea in mind. But God answers prayer. And secondly, God encourages Christian witness. You see, God wasn't turning a blind eye to Peter's suffering or Peter's plight. God saw him there. God cared about him. And God wanted to use that circumstance to provide greater opportunity for Peter to speak about the grace of God in his life. Not just that Jesus was his friend and his Lord and his Savior, but that this Jesus saw fit to extend his time on earth. And Peter saw their prayers answered in his own life as he walked out of that city, walked out of that region, maybe up to Antioch, maybe up to Tarsus, maybe he caught a boat to Rome. But he could look back on his life and say, I see where my God has been gracious to me. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road, Maumee. You could also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.